It's good to be here again this morning. It's good to see the house so well filled. And I want to welcome all of you here. Glad to have visitors here with us also. I was going to ask Brother Nathan to lead a song, and then somebody beat me to it there at the beginning, so I don't know if I'll we'll sing it or not, but I appreciate the songs that were sung. But I'd like to talk a little bit this morning in an opening meditation here about the church. And as I thought about the church and I thought about my relationship to the church as a child and through my life, you know, I think of some of you young people sitting up here. You probably, if you're like me, you don't think that much about church because most of you go to church on Sunday. There's a lot of things we take for granted, at least I did, and I think I still do. You know, there's a lot of people, young people your age, that have maybe never been to church, or maybe if they would go to church this morning, they would have to be hiding, they'd have to be worried about the authorities or what might happen to them. And so we're a blessed people if you grew up with your parents taking you to church. It's a lot to be thankful for, and it's a lot of things that we never really think about, or I didn't that much. So I'd like for you to think about that this morning, about church and what church means and the blessings that are, if you had that blessing, the blessings that were given to you that way. There's a song, Psalm 152 in the Christian hymnal, Church of the Living God, and that the verse there is taken out of 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read that verse here then. But it says, built on the rock without spot or wrinkle is the church of the living God, born of the Spirit, filled with His glory, just the way the apostles trod. Built on the rock revealed to Peter, it will stand every raging storm. Jesus the head, we the living body, we are safe from all earthly harm. Built on the rock, and 'twill stand forever. It is God's earthly government to shine on earth and draw saints together. Holy Spirit to earth was sent. Built on the rock, and in the one body, 'tis the bride of the Lamb once slain. The church of God, the pure, spotless virgin, she will forever with Him reign. There's beautiful words there as we think about church. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse in 1 Timothy 3 is a passage where he exhorts and gives the qualifications of ministers. And then he goes on in verse 14, he says, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So which is the church of the living God? What is the church? Who is the church? We have a church house here. When you think of church, what do you think about? Do you think about this building and is that what you think about? I trust not. I trust when we think of church, we think of the brotherhood. We think of the body of believers. And without a doubt, the most important body on earth is the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood, His bride. The reality is that the church is those who gathered here this morning to worship. The local church is simply a group of believers that have united together to follow Christ. If you want to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, I'd like to read a few verses there. And it's a very familiar passage. We could probably say those first couple verses by heart anyway. 1 Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. If ye then be risen with Christ. So he gives some of the qualifications of the believer there. We must be risen with Christ. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. And then he goes on and gives, after these three verses, he gives things that need to be mortified. And then things that need to be put off. And I think we often talk about the little foxes that spoil the vine. And I think these are some of these things. Anger, bitterness, gossip, contempt. Those are the, I believe, some of the little foxes that spoil the vine. Those are the things that we need to watch out for to make sure that they're not a part of us. Truthfulness. And then he gives the things to put on. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Excuse me. Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." The meaning of the word church for the true Christian was fixed by Christ and his apostles. What they meant by it and how we interpret it must line up. No man has the authority to change that. And we have the universal church. That's the body of Christ, the bride of the Lamb, the habitation of God through the Spirit, the pillar and ground of the truth. And the local church is, excuse me. The local church is a community of ransomed men, a minority group, a colony of heavenly souls dwelling apart on earth, a division of soldiers on a foreign soil, a band of reapers working under the direction of the Lord of harvest, a flock of sheep following the good shepherd, a brotherhood of like-minded men, a visible representative of the invisible God. And a true church is something that is supernatural and divine. It's a direct is in direct lineal descent of that first church at Jerusalem. You know, the social aspect can be imitated by any group, regardless of whether there's any spirituality there or not. But the spiritual essence of a true church cannot be reproduced anywhere but in a company of renewed and inwardly united believers. You know, the Christian life is a personal experience with every individual. You know, when a person meets Christ, when he's born again, or born from above, I can clearly remember Dale Heisey standing up here and saying, that's born from above. No amount of group effort can make a Christian out of a lost person. Finally, every person has to make that choice to follow Christ personally. And once that decision has been made, he or she will want to join a community of believers. You know, we're social beings. We need each other. And being a part of a local body of believers is the best environment for the redeemed. You know, it is a place that the Christian will find the most perfect atmosphere for the fullest development of his spiritual life. You know, the church where Jesus is the head. We are the living body, like the song says, called to shine on earth and to draw saints together, filled with his Spirit. You know, just a few of the elements of a true church. Someone, our teacher, mentioned in Sunday school, and I thought it went along so good with this, an oasis of love. It's a place where the believer feels a oneness, where people truly care about you. It's a company of believers, where the Lord, the Spirit, and the Word of the living God is there. Let the Lord be worshipped, the Spirit obeyed, the Word expounded and followed as the only rule for faith and conduct. And the power of God will move among the church. The church will produce a spiritual culture of brotherhood and love that will not make sense to the unbeliever. You know, God is getting his people ready for another world. And he uses the local church to carry on his blessed work. You know, the true child of God is a happy one who has found a company of believers in which he can fellowship and live and love and labor. And nothing else on earth should be as dear to him or demand of him such a degree of loyalty and devotion. In closing, I'm just going to read a couple of verses here out of Colossians 3 yet. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Let's stand together for prayer.